Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I am a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024, and this is a 10 a.m. meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 8, paragraph 1, starting with, "No words can tell of the loneliness," through one paragraph only, ending with, "Alcohol was my master." Commenting on that one paragraph, please. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Barbara W., the 12 traditions, Robin B., readers of the text are Penny L.C., Sherry Z., and Kara L. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements is Leslie M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,202. That's 21202. And for this morning, Thursday, March 7th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 21,204. 21204. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps which are suggested. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Barbara W., please press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Could you hear me?
I can hear you now, Barbara. Can you please read the 12 steps?
Yes. I'm Barbara W., and I'm a compulsive overeater and happy to be able to serve. Number one, we admitted that we were powerless over food, that our life became unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching fear more inventory of ourselves. Five, admitting to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defective characters. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, we made a list of all persons that we have harmed, and we became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whatever is possible, except when to do so or injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong, properly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having a spiritually awakened as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeater and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Barbara W. I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, moderator. Robin B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks, Robin B. We appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 8, the first paragraph, starting with "No words can tell of the loneliness." And I will now ask Penny L.C. to get us started.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. Wow. You know, Bill has lived his life according to his rule book. When life pushed back, he simply went around it, and with his will and his ego, convinced himself that his next choice would get him just what he wanted. Here, he sees the truth, his truth. He is out of options. Bill is facing the reality of his devastating circumstance. He finally is realizing how he's put himself in a corner. He is admitting to himself how far down he has gone. Yes, I can easily recall what he is describing, remembering the overwhelm of alienating the world around me, having made choices that pushed out goodness in my life. I felt alone and hopeless and so sorry for myself. When I finally was willing to admit to myself that food was ruining my life, it had me in its grip. It was showing me just how powerless I was over it. This was my chance to give up completely or be willing to give myself over. I felt desperate, and that desperation would end up to be my saving grace, although I certainly had no idea of that possibility at that moment. Yet today, I'm grateful to read on and to learn the rest of the story, Bill's story, and yet truly my story. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny Elsie. Thanks for getting us started. And I'm going to now take a list of people who would like to share. But before I do, please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please step back and allow others to share. And please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Veronica B.
Joan Marie M.
Sherry Z.
Okay, I've got Veronica B., Joan Marie M., and Sherry Z. so far.
Christy D.
Christy D. Take a few more.
Roz G.
Roz G. Great. Okay, so I've got Veronica B., Joan Marie M., Sherry Z., Christy D., and Roz G. Veronica B., please get us started.
Hi, I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you for your service. Oh, gosh, I really relate to this paragraph. I relate to loneliness, overwhelmed, despair. This is how I am naturally wired. Self-pity. Okay, self-pity is my number one go-to default. You know, wanting everybody to feel sorry for me, so you got to do what I want you to do. I want you to behave in a certain manner. If not, it leads to poor me. Don't you understand? My situation is different. And I use this thinking as an excuse for my compulsive eating. For many years, I used to eat and throw up for about 15 years until I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And this was my attitude. My attitude and my thinking was all about, don't you understand my suffering? I deserve, you know, I deserve the food. I deserve to be treated special. And it's part of my illness of compulsive eating and my spiritual malady that I have, that I depend on others to fix me, you know. And this is where the 12 steps is my only solution today. Having a relationship with the power that takes away all that self-pity, that really gives me hope for today, that helps me look at things differently today. It's this power that I've gotten from working these steps, and it's a daily actions that I have to take to connect with this power of my very own. And I discovered this power of my very own. I've had it with me all along, you know. I was just putting other things in front of it. And today I have freedom like I've never experienced before. Today I have food neutrality. Today I feel I'm taken care of. And that's a direct result of working these steps, being in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous, taking a lot of contrary action to how I feel, and really just practicing to trust God in every single choice, situation that comes up every day, daily. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Veronica B. Perfect timing. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Sherry Z. Hi, Joan Marie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered by the grace and power of God. Oh, wow. No words can tell. There are no words to tell. Before I came back this time, of the despair, the hopelessness, only God could and would if I let him. And I had to surrender totally my alcoholic foods. I had to do everything that I needed to do to get recovered, and that was work with a sponsor who had what I wanted, and she did, and she does. I'm so grateful for this program. The words of loneliness, despair, self-pity, quicksand, it just matched everything and more of what I was feeling before I came back again. There are no words. Alcohol, like foods, was my master. I made food my God because I went to that for feelings of overwhelming feelings that I didn't know how to cope with, feelings that I didn't know what to do with. And this time around, I'm totally surrendered. And yes, food is cunning, baffling, and powerful. But I know one who has all power, and that one for me is God. And may I trust him now. May we all trust in the process. This is a beautiful program. It's miraculous. There's miracles on this
line. Thank you for calling the Charles River Medical New Patient Line.
Hello? I think somebody...
Please enter your extension.
Yes, somebody, I hear somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joan Marie M.
That's okay. That's all right.
Let's see if we can have somebody mute the line.
Press 1 to listen to new messages. Press.
Somebody's listening to a recording that says press 1. If they could mute their line, please. Okay, Joan Marie, continue. I'm so sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm just about finished anyway. I want to end with there's hope in this program. If there are people in there who feel so hopeless and desperate, as I did, God can and will if we let him. Thank you so much. I always get so emotional, and I'm glad that I can, because I can feel good feelings now, not just bad. So thank you. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Joan Marie from Nevada. Thank you so much for your share. Up next is Sherry Z, followed by Christy D. And please let us know where you're calling from when you share. Sherry?
Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z, calling from Southern California. Thank you all for your service. So grateful to be on a meeting this morning and walking my dog at the same time. So we'll see how I can do this. Alcohol had become my master, which means that food was my God and I was its slave. And what I know about slavery is that the tendency for human beings is to stay enslaved because the unknown is so daunting. And for 30 plus years, I was in these rooms and no sponsor had asked me until I got to these rooms, how free do you want to be? They had asked me a lot about my food. They asked me a lot about my weight. They asked me how abstinent I wanted to be, but no sponsor until my sponsor in Vision said to me, how free do you want to be? She basically asked me, do you want to really stop being a slave, which means you have to have the courage to go into the unknown? And I remember just feeling so teary in that moment because I wanted to be free more than anything. What I wanted to be was free from the planning, the plotting, the deciding, the weight, the scale. I just wanted to be free. And at that moment, I knew something was different here. And that is what Vision has given me, is that I'm not a slave to the food or to the disease today. And it's a one day at a time. I can tell you a different day, I may feel different, but thank God, because of Vision, I don't act differently. But I was a slave. And I was afraid because it was so comfortable to be a slave because I knew how to do that. And for the last two years plus, I'm free. And it is so much better. And I'll just end with this, is that I didn't realize that God wanted me to be free, that God did not want me to be enslaved. I thought that was my sentence and that I was supposed to be enslaved my whole life and that was just what it was going to be. But it's not. I can be free, and I'm free today thanks to all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Sherry. Thank you very much. Up next is Christy D., and please let us know where you're from.
Good morning. This is Christy D., grateful, recovering bulimic, anorexic, and overeater from Oregon, and just so grateful to be here today. I just identify with this passage so much of coming to that place where you're at the end of yourself, where you have so much desperation, so much lack of hope, and you don't know what to do with it all. And for so long, I didn't know how to reach out in any way, whether that was to a higher power or to let anyone in. I think the shame of having an eating disorder kept me and silence and suffering. I didn't want to let anyone see what was going on inside of me or the things that I was dealing with because there was so much shame around it. And that kept me, you know, that kept me hidden. It kept things in secret. And what I love about this program is it teaches you healthy ways to reach out for help. And I have a son that's going through some trauma right now. And I'm so grateful that the gifts of these program, like, I know how to walk him through this. I know what, I have different tools to cope. It's like you don't have to tell everyone about your eating disorder. You just have to tell the right people, right? Like I needed my sponsor to know. Like I need the fellowship to know. I have to talk about it. If I'm struggling with food thoughts, there are people I need to tell. I can't keep that a secret. And I need to tell my higher power. I know where to go for help. And to some extent, my family doesn't need to know the level of detail that my sponsor knows, but they need to know too. And you don't tell everyone, but you don't tell nowhere. You got to tell the right people the right things. And the other piece of that is knowing when you come to the end of yourself that you need a power greater than yourself. That I've come to be humbled by life. And know that there are some situations and things that occur in my life that are beyond my capacity to cope with. They just are as a human being, that I've come to the end of myself and my skills, especially when it comes to like pain and suffering or grief. And that without a higher power, you know, that's all I knew to cope with. So, I mean, I think the lessons of these programs, I think the beauty of that is we talk about practicing these principles in all of our affairs, is that we get to work our program, you know, at work, as parents, as partners, as friends, as sons and daughters and sisters and brothers, that, you know, when we come to the end of ourselves in certain situations, you know, we know how to do the three-step walk. We know when things are unmanageable, we know what to do. We know that, we've come to the limits of ourselves and that, you know, only a higher power can restore us to sanity. So I'm grateful for the gift of this program and I'm grateful that it's a gift that I get to share with the people that I love. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Christy D. from Oregon. And just a reminder, we are on page 8, if you came in to the meeting late, paragraph 1, starting with no words can tell of the loneliness. Ending with alcohol was my master. And up next is Roz G. And after Roz, I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Roz.
Hi. I shared on Monday, and I forgot that we need to wait. So I'm going to pass.
No, Roz, you're good.
You sure? Okay.
Yes, every third day. So if you share Tuesday or Wednesday, today's the third day. So you're good.
Okay. I love to hear myself talk. My name is Roz. I have an ego problem. My name is Roz. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I was, you know, it was kind of quiet and I thought, oh, you know, I could share about this too. And I remember I did share something about this the other day about being at the end, sitting at the end of my bed and thinking about committing suicide because I couldn't lose weight. And the reason to stay alive was that I wouldn't want to leave my children alone. And but that I didn't really realize that alcohol was my master then. It was just very, very, very low, or food. There were several different times where I look back and think about how food was my master, how it was the solution to my problem, and how I would eat poppin' fresh dough, or the those little tubes of chocolate chip cookies and not even cook them all the way, just cook them till they were in certain consistency and just sit and eat them, and pass out and come to feeling so terrible. When I think back on those times, I think, yeah, food was my master, and sitting at the edge of my bed and wanting to die, that's a terrible way to live. Those are terrible thought processes. And now that I do not use food to solve my problems, I still have them. I still have issues that I have to deal with. Self-pity has been the one that's been rocking my world for the past, I'd say, 6 months. And so I'm getting some outside help for that. And my sponsor has says, rewrite your story. There's so many good things in your life, which is so true. And I don't want self-pity to be my master. I don't want to gain attention through negative means. You know, wanting my mother's attention, wanting my father's attention, negative means. That sucks. I have been given the 12 steps. I have been given the gift of you, this meeting, my sponsors, sponsees, friends, outside activities. They are all gifts, and I need to focus on those. I need to tell self-pity and negative thinking that I have a way bigger God than you, and that when I focus on God and instead of those things, I certainly do a lot better. So just to say, to round this out by saying, I'm doing a lot better. I'm focusing and practicing and taking action on things that are healthy and good, and I'm not entertaining those self-pity thoughts today. So I thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. And before I take another list of names, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We are reading page 8, paragraph 1 of the Big Book, starting with No Words Can Tell of the Loneliness. And please give me your first name if you'd like to share, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Rocio.
Oh, I didn't get anybody.
I'm Delartine from Idaho.
Somebody from Idaho.
Della Jean from Idaho.
Della Jean from Idaho.
Wendy M.
And then somebody was from California.
Rocio C. from California.
Rocio C.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Betsy H.
Betsy H. Let's try one more. Anybody else would like to share? Okay. That's a great list. Della Jean from Idaho, Wendy M., Rocio C., and Betsy H. Della Jean, please press star 1 and share with us.
Yes, I'm Della Jean from Idaho, a recovering compulsive overeater. I've been in and out of OA for 46 years. About 10 years ago, I decided not to come anymore, and I gave away all my 12-step literature, said to myself, this is as good as it gets. And I'll just cope with life the best I could. And I spent the next 10 years weighing about 200 pounds, compulsive overeating, and just trying to cope with life the best I could. And I was doing pretty good at it. But a year and a half ago, I went to the doctor. I was 77, and I weighed 238 pounds. and that changed everything. I thought, you know, I can't go on like this. And I came back for health reasons. I wanted to have a longer, better quality of life. I just, this is the second time at this meeting. I'd heard about it. Finally, I asked somebody, what's the phone number for that meeting? And I'm really glad to be here. I was a Christian at 25, came into OA at the first time about in my early 30s, but I just did not get well. When I came back a year and a half ago, I had a different attitude. Before, I always came in to be thin and pretty. No thought of my health. My health never concerned me. Thin and pretty was all I was interested in. This time, I came in for health reasons. And I'm down to 170 pounds, never been able to lose weight in my life. I never really tried anything else but trying a diet once in a while and couldn't stay on it 2 days, couldn't leave food alone. Things I tried, early on I knew those didn't work. But I just had a suspicion that OA would work.
Time, please.
Okay. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Della Jean from Idaho. And before Wendy M. comes on, just a reminder that we are sharing on page 8, paragraph 1, that paragraph starting with no words can tell of the loneliness. And Wendy M., you're up, followed by Rocio C. Hi, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. When I first saw this paragraph, I'm like, I can't relate to it at all. And then somebody on the line a few minutes ago said, I've been dependent on people my entire life. And I got to tell you, you know, somebody said like yesterday, you'll hear the miracle. It will come to you. Just stay on the line. You're going to hear it. I have been dependent on people my entire life. And that has been my strategy, you see, because I don't really want to have to work my life, but maybe you could work my life, or you could fix me, or you can solve this. I mean, really, it was like, you know, a huge light bulb went off when I heard that. Like, and what happens to me when I'm dependent on other people to fix me, to manage me, whatever it is, you know, I don't want to do the work of being a human being. I want you to do my work, right? And as somebody said, self-pity is a wonderful strategy. Like, have I mentioned over and over that I, you know, have trauma? Did I mention that I, right? And the beautiful thing is, the minute somebody says this, I get free. See, when we name the experience, we get freedom immediately. That, you know, and the other thing that happened is that when I heard dependence on other people, I thought, well, then I can't be dependent on God, can I? There's no room. It's either one or the other. God either is or God isn't. And when God isn't, then you are. And you better fix my life right. And you better get me the right way. Because, I don't want to do the work. The food's down, but I don't want to do the work of life, right? And then it says here, alcohol was my master. I'll never forget reading that for the first time. Again, it didn't leave me feeling like, oh, I am so messed up and I'm so screwed and food is my master and people are my master. And no, it was a freedom again. Oh my God, alcohol is my master? Oh, this is a very freeing thought. It's just like step one, right? Like I'm powerless over food. But the word master is so powerful here. Food is my master. You all are my master. Whatever I'm depending on is my master. I'm in bondage to you. But knowing that you are my master gets me free in a nanosecond. And the other thing that gets me free, and then I'll get off the line, is the word humble. I said yesterday to somebody, I don't know how to do a relationship. And she said, that's a perfect start. You don't know how to do it, right? I don't know how to not be dependent on people. Perfect. Humble. Humility. That's where we start. The minute I'm humble, the minute it says, that's my master, I get freedom. With that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Wendy M. from Colorado. Up next is Rocio C. from California, followed by Betsy H. Good morning, Rocio.
Hi there. This is Rocio, recovered compulsive overeater. I just, this whole idea of having food as your master is very dark. And a year and 1 month ago, I was in it. I was eating compulsively, and I was binging, and I was purging. And it was a progressive process. I was doing it more and more and more until one day I got on my knees, and I asked my higher power, why cannot, and I was in my restroom by the toilet after having purged, and I was in so much pain and despair, and I got on my knees and I asked my higher power, why can I not be consistent? Why can I not stay and follow the program in OA? And I'll never forget that I heard a very loud and clear voice, and that said, it's your pride. And I heard pride. So I had to humble myself and ask for direction, especially from another woman. You know, nobody tells me what to do. I've been living my life. I know best. So I had to really humble myself, get a sponsor, and allow them to guide me through the process, because I was sick of this master. And now in recovery, that was the first step, putting the food down. Now I have to deal with the underlying issues. And one of those is fear for me, flying and suffering from anxiety attacks when I'm flying and having to sit in a plane and feeling overwhelmed by fear and having to call in my higher power to soothe me, to be with me. Wow, it's been a world of difference. Now I don't have to go and get medicated. Nothing wrong with medication, but that was my other master. You know, let me reach for the medication when I'm in fear, when I'm anxious, when I'm feeling out of sorts. And it's okay, nothing wrong with that. It has its time and place. But I was way too dependent on it. And now I can be on a plane, travel, not eat compulsively, and not given into the fear, because higher power, I feel, is with me more so than ever. And it's doing the work every day, being of service, living my dharma. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Rocio C. from California. Up next is Betsy H. Betsy, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader from California. And this paragraph really just makes me think of step one experience and how devastating it is. And I was just isolating and eating. I was in college when I first came to OA, when I first surrendered and started working the steps and put down the food. And I would just I just was so isolated, and I would just binge on food alone. And I got to that feeling of being of so much self-pity and loneliness and despair, even though my life wasn't externally as crazy as Bill's was. You know, I hadn't been to prison, or, well, I guess Bill hadn't either, but he had, you know, gained and lost so much money and had so many ups and downs. I didn't have that, but, you know, it brought me to a really low point, this food addiction. and whatever, you know, whatever, wherever we are, I think we can recover, you know, like I don't have to keep going down. I can hit bottom now. I don't have to keep digging, you know, and try to find a lower bottom just because other people had it worse. And just, it's a terrible place to be in, all that despair and self-pity, and just the, my brain was racing with all negative thoughts and feeling of impending doom. And it's very humbling to admit, like, I can't control something as simple as food and eating or my weight. And but at the same time, it's a tremendous opportunity, you know, to admit that I'm so powerless. It finally gives space for a higher power to come in, however I conceive of that higher power. And I need that higher power to get me out of that really bad place and to start bringing me up. And because when I'm in the self-pity, I'm not helpful to anyone, you know, I'm not helpful to myself, not helpful to anyone else. And it feels a lot better today to put down the food, to work the steps. You know, things are difficult, but then I can, whatever happens, I can work the steps on it, and then I don't have to overeat. And just for today. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Betsy H. from California. We have time for about two more shares. If you want to share on page 8, paragraph 1, starting with "No words can tell of the loneliness," we take two more people. Can you please give me your first name and first initial of your last name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Bailey.
I heard two people, but I didn't get either of you. I'm sorry.
Bayla G.
Gayla G.
Bayla, B-A-Y-L-A. Bayla G.
Bayla, gotcha. Bayla G. And who else?
Ronnie S., Colorado.
Ronnie S. from Colorado. All right, we'll go with those two. Bayla G., to let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Bayla G. I'm calling from New York. Should I share?
Yes, please go ahead, Bayla.
Hi, I'm Bayla G. calling from New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful for this meeting. I just started working Vision yesterday. I've been in OA for a couple years and been in relapse for some time. I found a sponsor and I'm working with her. You know, in the process of doing all this, I'm using a lot of tools that I find very helpful. And
thank you for calling the please enter your extension. Press pass.
I'm sorry for the interruption, Bayla. Somebody is unmuted and we could hear your phone. If you would please mute your phone. Bayla, please continue. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Thank you. Thank you. And the tools that I'm using is writing. You know, writing a letter to my higher power and getting and waiting and then giving myself an answer. You know, I'm appreciating that. There's a lot going on right now in my life and I can't manage it, and I like how it talks about trust and giving over to higher power. So that's what I'm going to continue to do this morning. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Bayla G. from New York. Up next is Ronnie, Colorado.
Hi, everyone. Yes, my name is Ronnie. So good to connect with everyone today. And loneliness, isolation has probably been the principal trigger for my binges in the past. I came into OA in 2019, but had been struggling with food since like 2015. And so many moments of cutting myself off from the rest of the world, some of the most painful moments in my life. I was a Peace Corps volunteer in South America, and I was medically evacuated because the last 2 weeks I was there, I locked myself in my room and I drank and ate nonstop. And I played the role of the victim. I thought everyone was against me. I was unappreciated in my community. And as other people have spoken to this point of victimhood versus empowerment, it's such a mindset shift, but it's so powerful. And it's also bringing some compassion into this. Thinking of my own loneliness and pain, you just never know what other people are going through when you talk with really anyone. If they're also suffering with an addiction or experiencing this sort of loneliness or isolation that many of us have felt, it helps me be much more loving and caring and considerate. So I'm so grateful for this program. I needed to come to this meeting and to be able to share with all of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Ronnie S. from Colorado. We have time for about a 1.5 minute share if somebody else would like to share.
Anna, New York.
Anna, New York. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Hi, good morning, and thank you so much, moderator, and everyone doing service. Such a moving meeting. Succinctly, I will say I've been lonely since I was aware of it since 5, and the weight started in teenagerhood and up and down. I was still lonely in all relations because I just said whatever you wanted to hear, and it wasn't until April 2020 that I surrendered, and I am so grateful to be with you every morning and to live life God-dependent and not independent or people-dependent. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ann A. from New York. You have about 30 seconds if anybody else wants to just claim their seat. If not, we can close the meeting. And okay. Well, thank you to everyone who is here with us today. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry Z. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z., recovered in Southern California, and this is page 164. Excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.